You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the next episode of the Whatever Podcast. I'm Aubrey, and I'm here with my mom, Pam Perry.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I love it. We're at a different little place today.
Yeah, we're at a different studio.
Oh, no. We're just going all over the world.
I feel official, like I'm a real radio host. We're traveling. We're on tour.
We're like, hey.
I feel
and we're doing video.
They're like Oprah and Gail.
Who's Oprah? Who's Gail?
Well, you know, I'm Oprah.
How did I know she's going to say that? I'm the sidekick, Gail. But I never had any weight issues.
No, what? Just kidding. Why are you shading Oprah?
I didn't mean that, Oprah.
Jeez. Shading her. Okay, well, I had a couple of like different topics that I think that I thought were interesting to talk about. And I guess we'll just get right into it.
Okay. Well, this is like, we said beginning of 2019 we were going to do a podcast. And it is like 6 months later.
It's June.
It's June. So we got something new we're going to do.
We're going to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be good.
Okay. Oh, we're acknowledging the camera.
Oh, we got to do the video. Facebook Live, Mark. You want to do that? Or no? Okay, well, come on, let's go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start talking, so. So what I want to talk about is what do you think makes a healthy marriage? And obviously, it's not like I am engaged or even about to get married, but I just wanted to get your take since I feel like you and my dad have like a really good marriage, and just like seeing people my age getting married young and just like different situations that I'm witnessing. And I'm just like, what do you think makes a marriage last?
Well, since we're going on 25 years of marriage next year and we've been together, what do we say, Mark? Like over 30 years. Wow. So over 30 years. So
wait. Hold on, sorry. Do you think that you guys, like, being together for so long before you got married helped?
Yes, it definitely helped. It is really a requirement, because if you need to go through, and I told this to my niece, that you need to go through at least all four seasons with your mate. So that means at least a year before you really even decide to think about getting married. So winter, spring, summer, and fall, because people have different moods, you know, in different times
of
year.
Because winter is the, let's be booed up. It's cold. And the summer comes around.
It's like, hey, I'll catch you later.
I'll see you in September.
Exactly. And then around Christmas, it's kind of like, you know what? They pick a fight because they don't want to give a gift.
Valentine's Day comes around, they're like, another gift I gotta get.
Yeah, so you gotta really watch all of those seasons, but you really have to start out being friends. You gotta like the person, like them, meaning that you're not just in love and you feel the butterflies in your stomach and it's like, I just love him. But you really have to like him on those days when it's like, you know what? I'm just walking through the house. I'm washing clothes. I got rollers in my hair and I'm looking at him and he's eating ice cream, sitting on the couch. I mean, you know, it's like, I still like him. So you have to be friends first and have things in common, things that you want to talk about. You just really do. But the main thing, I think, is really letting the other person be them. Just letting them be who they are and letting them grow. So obviously, when I met Mark, I was a different person than I am now, because obviously I was in my 20s. So I'm a different person from my 20s to my 50s. Mm-hmm. So every stage and every phase that I change, he changes as well, mm-hmm. or he just accepts the phase that I'm changing. That's really important, because you can't say, well, I married you and you were this way, but now you're this way I don't like you. Well, it's like you have to, because a person is going to change. You have to know that they're going to change.
Yeah.
And you're going to know that. So
when you say you have to be friends first, I think that's interesting, because I feel like a lot of people now, when they just like start talking to someone, they like immediately like kind of just like put these goggles on where like they just want to make them into like the perfect guy or the perfect girl. Do you think that like with intentions of like wanting to be more, that puts like pressure on that relationship, and then that's how you get kind of caught up.
I think when you're meeting someone, instead of trying to make them the perfect person, you need to have like a bar. Like these are the things.
Standards.
These are the standards. And if they mess up on any, and you can have three things. Mine were three. It's like you can't be ugly, can't be stupid, and you can't be cheap. So okay. And if you kind of pass that behind the first couple of dates, we could kind of, and that's relative in terms of what stupid is and what, you know, cheap is. So those are the main things. But I think just having a process of elimination when you're dating is important.
Yeah.
So say you go out to dinner with someone and they decide, are you hungry? It's like, yeah, you know, I'm not really that hungry. Let's split a meal. And it's like, you know, no, you're cheap.
We're not splitting.
Even if you're not hungry, buy your own meal and let me have my own. And I could take my other half home if I want to, but we're not splitting a meal. I mean, that's just like on a date, really. So another thing is if someone that you talk to and you talk about your work or you talk about, I don't know, anything, whatever you're interested in, and they're like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't want to talk about this, or I don't care.
Oh, I have something interesting to say. I was reading an article, this is another thing that I want to talk about. It was saying like signs that you should or shouldn't move in with your boyfriend. And then one of them was if they never want to discuss money. And do you think that that's important too? Like when you're dating someone or like maybe get engaged to like, that's something that you should know about?
Oh, definitely. You want to know how much those school loans are.
Nobody asked me.
You got to know how much they owe Sally Mae. I mean, you know, you got to really, because you're going to get married.
You're literally combining lives together,
yes.
Which I feel like no one takes it that serious anymore, because I just feel like some people are getting married for Instagram, married because they think they have to.
Get a destination wedding.
Yes.
Just take a vacation, okay? Get a dress, take some pictures. I mean, it's really money. When you get married, it's more than just love, and it's really more
exactly,
than friendship.
Yep.
It's really a combination of two households that are coming into business together. So what it is that you want your business to do? What is your final goal? You want to end up at the other end of your marriage wealthy, wise, happy. And that just takes a lot of work. And money is the main thing. Money is the main reason why people really break up. They break up because so say, for instance, you marry someone and they have $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 in student loans. It may take, 10 years, 20 years to pay off. And what if you're paying them off together? And then during that period of time, maybe 7 years, you all get divorced. You have then helped that person pay their school loans and you're divorced. It's like, I want my money back.
Right. Run me my check. Speaking of the article I was talking about, do you think that it's important or not important, or like, how do you feel about moving in with someone? Like, not if you're engaged, but if you're like, we're serious. I know we're going to, but I just feel like this is the next step.
No.
I
never thought to do that. I mean, I have Christian values anyway, but even if I weren't Christian and I was just a girl that just says, you know, I kind of go to church or what, I wouldn't do that, just from the standpoint that I just hear my grandmother's voice that says, why would I buy the milk when I can, why would I buy the cow when I get the milk for free?
I'm dead, because I was talking about this with one of my friends, and that's the exact thing that she said her mom told her.
Yes. Why would they buy the cow when they could get the milk for free? So it's kind of like, why play house and act like you're a wife? A wife means you've got to cook, you've got to clean.
You've got to clean
the toilet, you got to wash and all this kind of, and there's no, well, I mean, at any point in time, he could just go out to a club, meet a new girl, and be with her. And she'll be like mad because she was at home washing and cleaning and cooking. And he was like, well, we're not married. And it's like, dude, what?
Like, I see both sides, because it's like, because I took a family studies class or whatever when I was in college, and they said that couples that lived together before are just more likely to not get married because they feel like they are anyways. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they can just kind of, they won't have, like, anything messy if they, you know, were to break up, you know.
And then not only that, like, okay, you have this wedding, and so they've been living together, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. Obviously, they have their pots, they have their towels, they have all this stuff. So when they get married, what are we going to bring you?
you already have a blender.
You already have a blender, okay? I'm sure after 3 years of living together, you guys don't have a blender, or you don't have matching towels. You, I mean, what are we, it's like, no. No, no. It's really just.
But what if, like, if you, okay, say if you never meet, or not meet, if you never live with this person and then you get married and then you do, and then it's like, oh, hey, how he always leaves his toothpaste right there. Why doesn't he ever clean up after himself?
Well, that's going to happen. You just have to adjust. So marriage is about a series of adjustments all the time and forgiveness every single day. Adjustments and forgiveness. Adjustments. It either adjust or you're going to self-destruct by being mad all the time. So you have to adjust. So just like if you had a roommate in college and you're moving in with someone who you don't know freshman year, and it's like, oh my God, I hate them. They're a slob. Well, you know you're going to be with them for that year. You made a commitment. So you're just going to have to adjust. Now, next year you may decide, okay, I don't have to have that roommate. But in a marriage, it's like we made a commitment before God that we're going to be together. So you just adjust.
That's funny that you said that, too, because I was just talking to one of my friends, and they were just, like, talking about someone that they knew who was thinking about breaking off an engagement. And then one of his friends told them, like, if you feel like this and you had to make a commitment before God, like, and you feel like you need to back away now, like, then you should.
Yeah, you definitely should. It's easier to do it when you're making a commitment to just the person, and then you kind of feel like, something is not sitting right in here. So instead of making a vow or an oath before a family or a tribe of people and God, mm-hmm. do it now. And don't be embarrassed about it, because it's, you know, and you could change your mind. You have a prerogative to change your mind.
Yeah.
Before you get married.
I just feel like now if someone wanted, if they felt away before, it's so much harder because you already posted on Instagram. But it's like, you can't be that proud.
Yeah.
But it's like, you already posted. People are like, oh, congratulations.
And you got 10,000 likes, and now it's like, delete.
All right, now I got to pretend it's not happening.
Well, at that point, it is harder when you have everything so public that I'm engaged and I've got to go through with it. But it's like that adulting thing. It's like, you know what? I don't care what people think. This is my life.
Yeah.
This is my life. And I'm not going to be happy. So maybe we'll get together later. But in the meantime, I'm not doing it. And I've had a few people that have said that they were going to get married, and up to the point where almost the invitations went out and that person changed their mind.
Wow.
What's the best thing that could have happened? Because it was before they combined all their assets and it became a messy thing. And then that other person had an opportunity to go on and meet someone who was the love of their life, and they're still married to this day with two beautiful children. Yeah, so it can happen. But I just think that you just have to really know in your heart what it is that you want to do. And if you feel, what's that word? That if you feel.
Like just a gut feeling?
A gut feeling that something's just not right. And you see red flags. And trust me, it only gets worse, or gut feeling gets louder as you march towards the aisle. Like, I know people who have gotten divorced and they say, I should have known, I shouldn't have got married. I just ignored the signs. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, the signs don't go away. The signs get louder. The signs just become more prominent because you're living with them day to day. And the reason why you marched forward was because what? Well, you know, it was the expectations of other people.
Yes.
I already bought the dress. I already did this. It's like, no. If the guy's a jerk before the wedding, he's going to be a bigger jerk during the marriage.
Forever.
Yeah.
Until death do us part.
Yeah, he's going to be a jerk. And so it's not like you can't, and this is the thing that for all women, you can't change a man. And a man can't change a woman. You can't. Whatever they are is going to be probably more of a problem as the marriage goes on, because there's going to be more life that's going to get in the way.
Yeah.
So if you really can't stand someone that, I don't know, they eat and they kind of like maybe burp after dinner. Oh, can you stop that, honey? That's just so rude. And years later, it's just like it becomes a big thing. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's a pig.
Oh. Now, like, when I feel like, again, I know literally nothing about this, but if you're looking to get married, and obviously, like, you know, you're telling your friends and your family, how important do you think their opinions are about, like, your engagement? Or, like, do you think that affects how successful marriage is going to be, if people have doubts, or if people are like, are you sure? Or if people, like, really like your partner?
It depends. I think the family and friends are different. So family will... They kind of know you best, and they really have the best interest at heart for you. So I would listen to family first, especially your immediate family. And they say, hey, this guy, I just have a feeling about him. He doesn't seem whatever, or the girls. But sometimes families can have just prejudices. And so you have to really understand, do they have prejudice against certain people just because they are who they are and they don't even know the person? So if your family knows the person, there's no prejudice, and they're still saying, you know what, I really don't think this is, you guys are ready to get married. Nothing wrong against that person, but just looking at what they know about you and what they know about the person that you're dating, then listen. Friends, I would say, unless the friend says, you know what, I saw something about this person that you don't know and I need to tell you, and then just you decide. So they should be real honest. I mean, say, for instance, you're dating someone and then you're really serious and says, you know what, should I tell her that me and this guy dated too?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I, ooh.
And, you know, I mean, and if he didn't tell you, and the girl's trying to decide whether she should tell, I mean, that's just messy. So listen to friends, see what their motives are.
I just feel like if someone was telling you something about someone that you are engaged, you are going to get married, and how I think that would affect later on, is just like, I feel like the person, or that, like, I would automatically get in, like, defense mode. And I feel like a lot of girls are like that too, where it's like, you're only saying this because, like, why can't you just be happy for me? Girls love saying that line.
Yeah. It is. We want to be happy for your friend. But then also, too, if she's your true friend, she's going to tell you what the real deal is. So you could
if they didn't necessarily ask, though? Because some people, they don't ask, and you just like, okay, like, I don't want to, like, if she's happy, that's good, but she doesn't want my opinion or anything.
Yeah, if she doesn't want your opinion, don't say anything, because then it comes across like you're just all in my business. So don't say anything. But if she happens to ask, then tell her. But if she doesn't ask, unless it's something really, really, like, you know, like, I saw your dude, you know, buying some crack from the crack dealer.
So, I didn't think that's where that sentence was going. What was I doing around some crack?
I'm just saying, just like something really, really bad, then you need to tell them. But if it's something that you just, it's like your opinion, keep it to yourself, because you and your friend, because they may break up and then they're mad at you too.
Exactly. And I just feel like I have seen so many situations where a friend has, like, said something or whatever, and then, like, yeah, they're mad at the boyfriend or whatever for a minute. But then they can always get back to them, because girls are that way, and then they kind of stay off with their friend, which it shouldn't mm-hmm. be like that, but, like...
It is. It is one of those things, too. And like I said, the whole social media thing makes it even harder.
Social media makes everything. Just because, like, in general, you're already getting opinions about your life from everyone, if you were on social media or not. Mm-hmm. And then if you add a relationship, and then putting that on social media, Woo! Everyone's just going to have their opinions on it, and then you feel like, oh, well, now that I am not together with him. Do I have to delete all these pictures? Because what are people going to think if I still have them up? What are people going to think if I take them all down?
Right. That's true.
And if I do take them all down, then people are going to, like, speculate.
It's like, yeah, they really hated each other. Yeah. And they're not even friends.
Yeah.
He must have really hurt her. Or she must have really hurt him. So just leave them up. And then my whole thing is just, you know, don't really... I don't know, Aubrey. We didn't have that. I mean, me and Mark, we took pictures, but...
What do you do with your pictures?
We had to go to the store and get them developed. And we maybe have like 4 or 5 different packets of them. And it's like, oh, shoot. I don't want to go to the store and get those pictures. I mean, once you got them, you put them in an album or whatever. But I don't know. It's so different. It's more complicated.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, the stuff that we have to worry about now is...
Like, do you think that your, not your problems, or just, like, things that you stressed about in the beginning, when you were dating in the beginning of when you got married, are so much smaller in comparison to what they are now? Or, like, now you guys are just, like...
It's so much smaller. I mean, remember, we couldn't even connect when we were dating 24/7. So if I called him, I got a voicemail, and then I'd have to wait till either he got home to get the voicemail. And it's like, I mean, at one point in time we had beepers. I mean, but you know, it's like, but then he said, well, I couldn't get to a phone. I mean, it was just like, we couldn't keep a 24-hour tab on a person. We kind of let them live their life. And then when we got together, we had our life together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so different, because now you can look on someone and you can snoop on them and you can kind of see what they're doing, and then it could drive you crazy.
You know what's funny?
Mental health is really affecting, social media is really affecting people's mental health.
100%.
It really is.
100%.
It's something that we didn't have to deal with. It's like, if you can take a sabbatical from any kind of social media, podcast not included, but take a sabbatical from social media, you will find you have so much peace.
It's because you hear everyone's opinions and you hear everyone what like they're thinking, and then you get inside your own head and then you see what everyone else is doing and then you start comparing, and it's a
whole mental wellness health trap. It really is. It really is, because you have to just really step back from it. Even older people. So it's not just younger people. Older people, too, are like, oh, my goodness, she's 59. I don't look 59. I look 79. I mean, you know, it's just this whole thing. Older women are, you know, I saw older women that was a Grace Jones. Grace Jones was 71. It was like, what? Oh, my God. You know, she's 71. It's like, why is she doing that? But then that was just Grace Jones. I mean, it's just people will... It's at a certain point in time, it's so in your face and it's so real time that I really don't. You got to just shake it off. Just, you know, Taylor Swift, shake it off.
I knew you were going to say that. Why?
The one song I like from her.
What? Like when you were like my age or growing up, who was just like one of your favorite like celebrity couples or TV couples, like on a sitcom or anything? Did you ever have a show that you watched that was like, relationship goals?
I know. It's funny that one of my favorite just couples that I liked just growing up, like as a kid, was I Love Lucy. I don't know why.
Okay. Showing your age.
Showing my age.
Baby boomer.
I know, but I did. I love Lucy and Ricardo. One, she was just hilarious, and they just always...
I don't even know who that is.
They had so much fun. You gotta Google it or watch it on Hulu or something. But then, obviously, growing up, we did like the Huxtables. That was really kind of cool.
That's what was in my head,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You didn't like Maxine and Kyle from Living Single?
No. They fought all the time. They were crazy. No. They hated each other. Oh no, God. No. I never had that kind of thing. I was always, you know, I mean, some of the shows I liked growing up was like, always a woman was like a working woman and she had her own business, or she was on TV. You know, that's why, you know, I really love Oprah, you know, because she was like, you know, during my 20s and early 30s, I was watching a black woman on TV. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really key to me. It's like, wow, look what can be possible versus, something else. I mean, I don't know. And my mother never saw anything like that, right? So she was a housewife. She saw Leave It to Beaver or whatever. So you are what you see, and you become what you see. Mm-hmm. So that's one of that. And so the Huxtables was one. She was a, what was she? She was a lawyer. He was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or like Fresh Prince, Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't really like those. That was not really a couple's goal for me.
That wasn't relationship goals to be on in Bel-Air?
No, they were a bit. They had a strange son, Carlton, remember? And a strange daughter.
Hillary?
Yeah.
You told me that Hillary reminds you of me or something.
Oh, I did say that.
What is this?
She was spoiled, but that's about it. But she was so self-absorbed. Oh, my God. But she was cute like you, but no. she was, so they raised very self-absorbed and strange children. So that was not a relationship goal. With the Huxtables, you know, you like Theo, you like Denise, you know, you like Sandra,
Rudy.
You know, Rudy. Yay. You know, so that was kind of cool. But no, not, you've got to look at, like, just not the couple, but what the couple actually raised. I mean, also during the time, you know, you've got those black things where it was like the Good Times and stuff like that. That was never like a couple's goal. It was like Esther Roll and James. No. Because he was never, was he working? I don't know if he had a job. I don't know. That was not something, I didn't even really like watching that. It made me feel bad every time I watched it. It's like, they're so poor.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that, because you got married, you weren't older, but like you weren't like 24 or whatever.
Mm-mm.
Do you think that, like, having that time to kind of figure out your own life or just like getting married more mature has been a reason why you have a healthy marriage?
Well, see, this is the thing. People, most of my friends that were career women, they got married in their 30s and maybe over 35. So that means they're older moms. So 35, 36, 38. I even have a friend that just recently got married at 40 something. But that she has a real successful career. She's making six figures. She's a director. She's doing all this stuff. I mean, even like Tamara Hall. I mean, she just had a baby and she's like 48.
It's so crazy because if those are like all men, that wouldn't even be like a thought in their mind to be like, oh, they're not even married. Like, they don't even have any kids.
Mm-mm. But women, it's like, okay, I don't know. Maybe women got to freeze their eggs in their 20s. I don't know.
I have heard that people are doing that because that biological clock.
It just goes. You don't want to. So they freeze their eggs. And you hear.
Kardashian did that.
Oh, my God. And Michelle Obama. Remember, she didn't have children until a little bit older as well because she had a lot of, you know, problems getting pregnant. So it's a thing, but it's like people say, well, you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't have them all at the same time. So you're going to have a successful career. You're going to travel. You know, I think you have a friend that travels and she's doing, what if your friend was married and she was traveling to a different city every week? It'd be crazy. And if she had kids, what would she do?
Oh, yeah.
Put them in daycare 24/7.
Do you think that's important though to like have that, that time to you, yourself?
Yes.
Like, do you think it's necessary?
Yeah, you do. You have to get to know you before you can really include someone else in your life journey. You have to get to know you and like you.
And just, like how you said, how, like, obviously you're going to, like, grow
change
and all of that. And so definitely when you're in your 20s, you're doing a lot of that. And I feel like it would be so hard to do that if you're latched on to another person.
Right. Because they're like, I don't want to do that. It was like, well, I want to try it. I've never done it. I want to go and jump off a Grand Canyon, do bungee jumping. We saw Will Smith did that. Will Smith did a bungee jumping over the Grand Canyon. Yeah, he said it was exhilarating.
Have you ever watched the Red Table Talk with Jada Smith?
Yeah, I watched the one with, was it Gabrielle Union?
Oh, I watched a little bit of that one.
I would think that was the first one.
It wasn't the first one. The first one, I think, was like all four of them or something.
Oh, her parents and her mother. Yeah. I watched it from the standpoint of being just her being so open and authentic. And I think she's like 50 or close to 50. Yeah, the closer you get to that age, it's kind of like, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to say it. I mean, she told Gabrielle Union, she says, you didn't like me when you first met me. I mean, it's like, what?
Do you just kind of give less of a...
You do. You give less of a... A especially when you know, for me, like, there's so many times where I have friends that have gone on and have passed. And it really makes you feel so sure of your self in terms of your mortality, and I don't have time to be wasting. And so if I'm going to do something, say something, be something, I'm going to do it now because, you know.
Have you always had that attitude, though? Because as just as far as I, obviously, if you've been my mom, I've just always seen you as just being, like, assertive, knows what she wants. You're going to say whatever you say no matter what.
No. In my 20s, I read a whole bunch of books, how to be assertive, how to, you know, I took assertive training. It was like a thing. It was like a thing. Mm. It was like assertive training for women because think about it. In my 20s, there weren't a lot of women in the work world.
Mm.
So women weren't taught to be assertive, or we didn't have role models that were assertive. So I read a whole bunch of books about it, psychology, whatever, whatever. And then eventually it becomes part of you because you put that information in you. But no, at a certain point in time, it's just like a light switch turns on. It's like, you know what, doggone it. This is going to be it. This is going to be me. And then eventually you find out what the difference is if you're not. And then you say, you know what, wasn't that hard just to go on and just say what I mean?
Do you think that being a mom has helped you also be that way?
Whew. I don't know. Just being a mom, it's a whole journey all by itself. That's a whole nother podcast. I saw a girlfriend of mine posted something yesterday. It says, help, she's 3. You know?
Oh, and you said, hang on.
I was like, give her something to, you know. One of the quotes was like, just wear her little butt out, make her so tired that she just falls out of the bed. And, you know, give her warm milk and maybe put her to bed. I mean, because so much energy. And it's like they're trying to run a business and they're trying to be married and they got all this stuff. And this 3-year-old is like, mommy, 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 mommy. And it's like, oh, my God. I said, I remember those days.
Oh, I was never like that.
Oh, yes, you were. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like it's one of those things where you've got to learn life balance in a whole new way. Because I thought I was busy before you. I had a job. I was running a nonprofit. I had things at doing at church. I was doing this, that. I was so busy, so busy. And I had you. I was like, whoa, I have no life.
And you only have one of me.
I only have one. Oh, my God. And I don't even see how people do it. But then, you know, you're given what you can handle. So I just think that, you know, you can handle whatever's given you.
Mm-hmm.
So grace comes with that.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, it is definitely a whole nother way to balance your life when you do that. And you just got to put things in priority and just know it's a season. It's a season. So a season of you being in elementary school was just really cool, right? Because you were so like, oh, mommy, when you coming up to school? And then middle school was like, mommy, please don't come to school.
I remember middle school. I'm sorry.
And then high school was a whole nother thing. And that's when I felt like, okay, I need to be more on top of what you're doing than even in elementary school, because it was high school.
Yeah.
And I remember being in high school and it's like, okay, let's just be up there, but not let her know we're up there and just give her some room.
What were you doing? Were you spying on me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And social media was the thing, too. Remember? So I was all on your social media snooping. And,
oh, I remember. Yeah. I blocked you.
Yeah, you did. And haven't unblocked me since.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. This is crazy. Yeah. So it was, you just learned life balance and you really do have to put things in priority. What's most important to you? And I always say, too, travel. Travel when you're in your 20s.
That
get your passport and travel.
Was something that I had wrote in my notes too, was traveling alone. Have you ever done that? Just like going somewhere by yourself?
Totally by myself or traveling to go visit someone?
I meant just like going totally by yourself, buying a ticket.
No, if I'm traveling somewhere, I have a destination and I'm going to either see someone. So if I'm going to Philadelphia, I'll travel by myself to go visit someone. Or if I'm going to California, I've never gone to a city where I don't know anybody and I'm just showing up.
Because I feel like I've heard that that's just like a thing to do, just like going somewhere by yourself, seeing if you can navigate it, just like having some quality time with yourself.
I mean, you can, but you could still have one person in that city that you know that you can kind of hook up with and say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, let's have dinner, or, you know, someone you went to school with. Oh, I understand you're living in Seattle. I'm going to be in Seattle too. And I'll be at a hotel, but, you know, I can still have dinner with your family. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Not just totally like by yourself. That's like a hobo.
A hobo? You would still get a hotel. You're not just going to buy a ticket. All right, I'm here. I don't have anywhere to stay.
Yeah, it just would be very lonely, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that traveling...
They have this thing called Black Girls Travel where you could go and you could travel by yourself.
Oh, but meet up with a group.
Yeah, meet up with a group. It's called Black Girls Travel.
Or yeah, something like that is cool. Just like having an experience that is different than something you would do at home, because yeah. I feel like then you're allowed to like grow and experience new things, have right. new stories.
Yeah. And when you're traveling with a group of people that you don't know, you're getting to know them as well as experiencing like Bali.
Dubai.
You know, Dubai. Yeah. These cities I obviously have not gone to.
She also pronounced Tesla like Tesla. Tesla.
I just had like a little bit too much coffee.
When you were in your 20s, do you think you were, because I was thinking about the movie Intruder that we saw with Megan Good and Michael Ealy. And her character was just like kind of naive to the neighbor, always wanting to see like the good in him, always like wanting to be like, no, he's just like this sweet old guy, his whole family left him, now he's all like alone. Do you think that you were ever like that in your 20s? Just like, because I see some of my friends being just like to strangers, just being too nice to them, and like when they're trying to be creepy, you know what I mean? And it's like, I kind of do that too. She's like, oh, I feel bad just being like, leave me alone. But it's like, what do you owe a stranger?
Yeah. Even like when I see panhandlers and stuff on the street, I can tell ones that are creepy and the ones that really need the money. So you just always have to go with your gut and your instinct and just know when to back away. It was something my girlfriend Dorothy Tanay talked about on Facebook the other day, that she had a creepy situation where a lady came up to her and was saying that she was an Uber driver. And her ride got canceled, and asked Dorothy Tanay, like, where are you going? She's like, none of your business. When does an Uber driver, like, try to pick somebody up?
Yeah, what?
And then another lady came by and asked her some questions, and then she saw those two ladies talking together, and she knew something was up because they were planning something. So, you know, sex trafficking is a real big thing. You got to be careful. I mean, it's just, you hear so many horror stories. So I always have like this little inside of me, like, okay, if it's not right, it's better to run and to distrust and go away than to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to give him a chance. And then, you know, you're gone. So no, I always had this thing of being in public whenever I see something creepy, or if you feel like someone's following you. One of the things they always said is like, drive to a police station.
I've heard that.
Drive to a police station. You will know if they're going to be creepy and they go away, or they just happen to just be going that way. So just, you know, just really be on the way. Or sometimes one of the things I always do when I'm in a car, a Uber or a Lyft or whatever, I would get on the phone just to let the Lyft driver and Uber driver know that somebody knows where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just really important. It's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have that tracker on your phone. Your friends should know where you are.
Oh, yeah. Me and my friends, we share all That's of our important. Locations.
That is very important.
If that was a thing when you were younger, do you think you and Daddy would have shared each other's locations when you guys were, like, dating?
Yes. For sure. That would have been one of those barriers and tests. Like, okay.
Be like, oh, where are you?
Yeah.
I know where you are, but let's see if you're going to tell the truth.
Right, right. So that would be one of the things. But it would, I mean, if you trust them, so it's okay. But I just want them to know, like, okay, if I'm going out, we went out, and then it's late, and I go home, and he goes home, just making sure that I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, I got to call you, make sure.
Mm-hmm. Now and then voicemail.
Oh, yeah. There we go. So she's not home
I can't
yet.
Remember the last time I left a voicemail for someone.
Oh, my God.
I don't.
Yeah, that's the thing that we did.
Because I just feel like because I can text you.
But if they're driving?
They'll see it.
They don't supposed to. We're not. I mean, that's when I will sometimes like leave a voicemail message to like someone that I need to leave a long message to, like, and because I can't text it.
I was telling someone how it's funny because you leave me voicemails and you'll be like, hey, it's mommy. And I'm just like, first of all, I have caller ID. Second of all, I know your voice. Or you'll be like, hey, it's Pam.
I say it's Pam.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Too much coffee. I don't know. I it's just you when you're leaving a message, you identify yourself. That's just a protocol. I feel like that's a protocol. Certain things that are protocol that you just do.
Caller ID exists if you're my mom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Unless I'm calling from a different phone.
Yeah. Then, still, I know your voice.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you would. I guess you would. Well, I think that this month, you should probably do something different. So I think you should get a passport and then kind of hook up and see maybe some friends where you all can travel to. I don't know. Somewhere out the country.
Mm-hmm.
Or plan it for the fall. Your godmom's going to Mexico in the fall. Maybe you could go hang with her.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think traveling is important because I'm not zodiac signs or like whatever. I just like to read about them for fun. But I'm a Sagittarius, and Sagittariuses, they say we like our freedom and just like it's a necessity to travel. We like traveling. We like adventure, blah, blah, blah.
That's so true. I have two best friends that are both Sagittarius and they love to travel in a heartbeat. Like it doesn't matter. Plane, train, automobile. I'm like, I'm gone. Diane, Portia, both of them love to travel.
It's they are Sagittarius.
Okay. Yeah, they just travel all the time.
And they like their independence.
Yes, all the time. All the time. So yeah, so I could see that. You're on the you definitely have that trait. It's so funny.
Our next podcast we'll have to talk about our signs. My mom's a Gemini.
I just had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Your birthday is so close to Mother's Day.
I know. And Memorial Day. So I got these holidays that people just kind of forget about my birthday. It's like we're celebrating holidays.
But mine's on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true.
Always near Thanksgiving.
It's kind of bold.
Yeah, why'd you have to do that?
Nobody wants to come and eat birthday cake after Thanksgiving. I don't know.
So what do you think because we kind of went all over the place, but if you could say three things, what do you think that, I'll give this towards girls my age, that like millennials, girls our age should look for, or not look for, but like certain signs that they should be aware of that will make a good marriage?
I would say there's three things. So if you're dating someone, make sure that...
Oh, wait. Okay, sorry. Sorry, go. Okay. Go. Yeah, so three things that they should look for if they're looking to get married that they think will last, and then separate three things that you think is important in your marriage that has made it healthy.
Well, I guess it'd be the same thing.
Okay, so that's the same question then.
Yeah, so the main thing that they are, you like them. You really, really like them. You have a lot in common. You have a lot of laughs, okay? So you've got to just really genuinely just like, more than anybody, this is a person I just love hanging out with. Even if you're not doing anything, I just love hanging out with them. They're just like cool people, and you really respect them. You have fun with them. So that's really, really important because when chips get down, it's like, you know, you're going to want to have to like to be around them. Number two, they have Christian values, or, you know, that they really know that it's not all about them. And that just really kind of guides their whole values, their whole beliefs, their morals, their character. So you can't really say, well, if they are Christian and they really believe it, not just saying it, but they really believe it, then that's going to be a really good thing because that's going to shape their character. It'll mold them. It'll change them. And if chips are down, you know that they can pray. And then the other thing, you like their family because their family can break your family up, If you don't like their family, it's going to be hard. I'm telling you. If their family is crazy, then you pretty much can count on them probably getting crazy one day too. Yeah.
I don't know why I looked at the camera like that.
Yeah, so you got like their family, both sides of their family. Because
mm-hmm.
it can make those holidays hard. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure, so when you're meeting someone, you're dating them, and do you go to church? No, I've never been to church, or I hate church,
but,
or, you know.
Okay, like with that, because it's like, I mean, for me, that is a value, but for people who practice like other religions or whatever, should
well, like say if someone's Indian and they practice a religion
like Buddhism or something.
Yeah, whatever, Hindu, whatever. And that person that they're dating is not, and they are, that's going to be a problem because that's a big core of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's a core of who you are, that's going to be a problem. Or if you're dating someone who's Catholic and you're not Catholic, you're not going to understand any, and that's a big core of what they are, then you won't understand what it is. I mean, I've been to some Catholic funerals and things. It's like, oh my God, you got to really study this religion in order to get it. So you just, you really, that's whatever the core of that person is. Not saying you have to be the same denomination, but at least the same belief, because you can always learn their
and
denomination.
Just like, I feel like in general with religion, it's kind of like you want to be with someone who knows that there is something bigger than just themselves.
Oh yeah, God.
Than just the world.
Because you don't want them to think that they're the God.
Because that is what they're thinking subconsciously.
Ask Kyan, no.
Kanye?
Ask him. It's like, I am the God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can. Don't get me started on Kanye. Don't get me started.
So, yeah, and their family, making sure that they introduce you to your to their family. Because you, when if you get married, have children, then your children will be spending time with that family. What if you married someone? It's like, I love my husband, but I hate his family. Then you have a children, and then it's like, go see grandma. It's like, no, I hate her.
I hate her. You're not going to grandma's this summer.
Ever. That's a bad thing. That you should have thought about that before.
And if you don't like their family, then it's like, how can you like the person?
Right.
Because they're offspring of.
Right. So
even though, yeah. There's exceptions.
Yeah, you gotta get, you gotta adjust. You gotta adjust. I'm telling you, this is it's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up.
We'll wrap it up. This All right. is whatever.
This is the Whatever Podcast, where we talk about whatever. Follow us on Instagram. Whatever Pod, I believe, is what it is.
The Whatever Pod.
It is.
Yeah, the Whatever Pod on Instagram.
And yeah. So, oh, yep. Follow me on Instagram, Aubrey14. Twitter, AubreyMariah14.
And I'm on Twitter, Pam_Perry. And also on Twitter, Pam Perry.
All right.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Detroit Podcast.